It's been a long journey for you and the rest of the girls as more have come forward. How have the last few weeks been as the story continues to grow and kind of gain more traction?
I was telling one of my friends, I feel like I'm in the middle of like a Netflix series, except for it's like my life and every day I wake up and I don't know what's going to happen. But I mean, I think, you know, initially, obviously there was like a huge media, you know, lots of attention in the beginning just on me, which was pretty overwhelming. And I think I spoke pretty candidly with you guys about that, before. And I think, I mean, obviously for me, you know, it's sort of, I was on my own for a month and obviously like I didn't give anybody any notice I was doing what I was doing. So I totally appreciate it. Took everybody a chance to kind of gather their thoughts with it. But yeah, so that first month was a bit, kind of overwhelming. And then, you know, once Andrea stepped forward, and obviously she's such a respected person and player, both with, you know, players within the game that played with her and, you know, obviously the overall community. She's a very well-recognized person throughout soccer in Canada. So for her to step forward was massive. And then, you know, I think once, Eden Hingwing's been unbelievable in terms of the work that she's done behind the scenes. And once, you know, we got a hold of the 13 girls, or I think it's at 14 now anyways, that Eden gathered and, you know, they kind of powwowed themselves obviously because they were the ones that were at the heart of the story. And, you know, once I think they had a chance to put their voice out there, I think obviously their statement was quite powerful and I think pushed this forward again. And then, you know, it's just kind of, you know, and then there was a bit of a lull and then, you know, to have the Southsiders and Curva Collective, I definitely have to a ton of credit. They came forward, I think, April 5th with a, you know, sort of a show of support, which again, sometimes you feel like you're fighting this by yourself. So that was huge. And then, we met with the Southsiders, reached out to us and we met with them on Monday and they were phenomenal. And I think from the standpoint of just feeling so much support from within the community. And I think, I think we were all pretty emotional last night. Games I never have, but I did throw the TV on when the walkout was happening, and I definitely know I got teary. I know Eden, everybody we were talking to was. So it really, I mean, this goes so much deeper than I think to have people, yeah, that when you're in such a vulnerable position that really, you know, have no reason if they don't want to step up and help you to see the kind of support we got last night was just unbelievable. And honestly, probably, you know, most incredible things I've ever, you know, seen myself. So yeah,
it's been frustrating for, you know, fans to have a bit of I guess silence from the Whitecaps in Canada Soccer. Of course the Whitecaps releasing that letter yesterday. How did you view that letter and what was your reaction to it?
I mean, I think it just goes part and parcel with how they've been from, you know, start to finish with this, from even, you know, back in the day to now. There's just such a disconnect on a human level, I feel like, and I think I personally wasn't surprised by it because it's just the same garbage that they've been, you know, pushing out from the start. And again, you know, I think their behavior back then was indefensible, and I don't think that, to be honest, myself personally, I don't feel like there's a lot of character and integrity in the front office, and how they've acted over and over again has just sort of hammered that point home. So, it was a lot of corporate speak. It was nothing genuine, not much authentic about it whatsoever. It was just another, just again, sort of the arrogance that like we can just put out this kind of BS statement and everybody's, you know, we don't have to have any real meaning or substance behind it because this is who we are and we're not answerable to anybody. So it was a lot of the same stuff that I think we've seen. I think it's frustrating, but not surprising.
Kira, we all read that letter. What would have you liked to hear from the club instead of that statement?
I mean, just a real, you know, sense of ownership over the situation, you know, like an apology of any kind or any sort of sincerity to the fact that we even was put through this, you know, horrible situation would have been appreciated. You know, concrete things I think that we're looking for. I mean, a very simple ask that's been asked, you know, we've asked, the, you know, media's asked, and this ombudsman report that keeps getting cited. And, you know, I think it was quite significant yesterday. Karen Larson from CBC tweeted that she actually spoke to the ombudsman, and a lot of what she, the ombudsman, is saying, what the Whitecaps and the CSA have been putting out in their statement. So, I mean, I think like that's something that needs to be clarified. And again, if there was any sort of sincerity towards getting to the bottom of this, like, just hand over the ombudsman report and let's see what's in it. You know, she said to Karen Larson that she didn't make any recommendations. It wasn't part of her job description, yet that's been cited in both of the statements multiple times that, you know, based on the fact that she made no recommendations, you know, so it's just, I think like that right there, if you want to just keep this absolutely super simple, like a tangible first step to show some sincerity in terms of an investigation with this, if they have in fact done nothing wrong, just hand over the ombudsman report. And I mean, that's a good place, I think, to start in terms of, you know, truly getting to the bottom of what happened in 2008.
Well, and when we talk about accountability and ownership of the situation, you know, it's that letter. It felt to me like, you know, we're choosing to believe this ombudsperson's report, which is, you know, there was apparently no recommendation. And yet here's the you and the other girls that have their thoughts and memories of what happened and how they were affected. And it's still like the Whitecaps in Canada Soccer are refusing to almost care that there's these people within their organization that felt this way about those times.
I mean, I think the things that are really important, and I think another thing actually that Karen also had this woman, the lawyer, disclosed was that she did sign a non-disclosure. So again, if I'm a parent in the system, I mean, this is, you know, concerning behaviors involving minors. So why is there any kind of a non-disclosure act, like, you know, signing needed whatsoever if there was no wrongdoing? And if there was wrongdoing, why, you know, I mean, that to me is mind-blowing that now is out in the public sphere in terms of a fact. I think the things, you know, about it from like an accountability and ownership standpoint that's really struck me with, like, whether it's Coastal or whether it's BC Soccer or, you know, Whitecaps or CSA or whatever, it's, you know, there's a duty of care when you're working with young people, you know, and you know, this isn't just like a bad apple in the business office or whatever. Like, this is somebody that's entrusted. And again, this isn't even just concerning this coach, but this, you know, this is sort of, you know, ties into just the greater sort of sports arena where, you know, if you hear rumors or if you know something or, you know, if there's any type of a smoke involving a coach that's working with young people, like, there needs to be more responsibility taken. And I mean, just been so much negligence, for a lack of a better way to say it, like, that's been shown throughout this entire situation, that just at the end of the day, it's just the players have come last, you know, with all these different organizations. And, you know, that's the first thing that strikes me from, you know, again, the accountability and ownership. It's not okay to just say, oh, you know, he passed a criminal record check, no big deal. Or, oh, you know, we thought we heard something, so we're going to hand this off to somebody else. Like, these are real children and real, you know, real vulnerability at play. And that part of it just blows my mind in terms of just how blasé all these different organizations, even, you know, publicly are speaking about how they reacted once they knew something, you know, was going on, or you know, any sort of, you know, intonation that they had to that there was some sort of smoke there. And I think, I mean, you know, and I think that I think too, because, like, you know, real people were affected by this, like real, you know, women that had given up, or, you know, teenage girls at the time, like everything to play for Canada. You know, that's a huge honor. And, you know, again, for those girls who have been put in such a vulnerable, you know, situation, again, this isn't just some sort of, like, you know, sort of situation that isn't, like, concrete. Like, this is actual, you know, I'm talking to girls that are crying, you know, relaying stuff that they've, you know, buried down for years that they haven't thought about, and, you know, painful memories of how soccer ended for them. And, you know, and so when you're kind of at that emotional raw level with people, and then you're, you know, juxtaposing it with these sort of BS corporate sort of statements, like, it's just, there's such a human disconnect with that I just find extremely striking. And I mean, and I think that the final thing is that, like, even with the Whitecaps in Canada Soccer with these, you know, BS sort of statements, like, they're in charge, like, you know, there's a program going on right now in Vancouver with players that have flown in teenagers from other parts of Canada that are without their parents. And so, you know, we've got the same people in charge, like I said, but from 2008, 2017, you know, 2011 with our situation. Like there's just this, you know, pattern of just misconduct, I think, from, you know, from the front office, like executive level. And that's a real situation that's happening right now, that there's players in, you know, that these people are in charge of. And I find that extremely disturbing, you know, and even to me, like almost like multiplies how disturbed I am by just the complete lack of response.
You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by Kira McCormack, former Whitecaps defender. It took a while, Kira, but people have started to listen. Whitecaps supporters, Curva Collective, of course, Southsiders, are calling for answers through protest. What has that public support meant to you personally?
You know, it's been an exhausting, like, you know, however, I don't even know the day anymore, probably whatever, 2 months since I posted. You know, it's been emotionally exhausting in terms of, you know, I was saying to one of my friends, like, I feel like I've turned into like a 1-800 hotline for like any and all sorts of abuse and harassment stories across the country. You know, I feel privileged in the sense that I feel like I've become a hub where people feel like, you know, they can talk to me because, you know, they obviously know that they're going to have a sympathetic ear to hear what their experience has been. But it's been tough. And I mean, you know, I have my own business. And so that's kind of been put to the side because obviously this is such an important issue. So I mean, to have like these groups now starting to, you know, kind of, I really personally feel like it's just fueled me to just again have the fight and have, you know, just feel like I'm being backed and you know, just feel that this is a, you know, a greater group that we're fighting for as opposed to just our own story. So I think that piece of it, I think personally for me at least, has been what's been so incredible from these groups, like, you know, Curva and from Southsider stuff. And I know it wasn't just them. Like we had someone tweeted or sent me a message saying that LAFC fans, some of them walked out as well. So that's, you know, again, that's very inspiring. And it's just given me energy that I think I really need because this has been, you know, just a very draining, 2 months, I guess, since this has all kicked off. So
yeah, and it's only just the start, it feels like, because it has been so slow to continue building. But what is it that we hope to see, you know, in the next few weeks and months and moving forward, Kira?
To be honest, even behind the scenes, like I think we're still in the discovery phase in the sense of, you know, people are still coming forward behind the scenes with stuff. So, I don't even think that part of it isn't finished. I mean, I think like, obviously there's only so much you can focus on at once. And so, you know, we're just trying to support and something that I just think also has been very interesting with this is just, again, in terms of, you know, we're trying to get the names of everybody that, let's say, we're on the U20 team. And, like, we've had to – Canada Soccer has literally been scrubbing their website. And I know this because I obviously was researching stuff before I wrote the blog. And, like, you know, literal articles with rosters and stuff have disappeared. So, you know, we've also had to, you know, go full-blown Aaron Brockovich behind the scenes and, like, try and, you know, find fan forums where things were posted and stuff. And so, again, like, that's taking a lot of energy in terms of just making sure behind the scenes that we're, you know, that everybody, even that were involved on these teams, know that this is going on. And so I think that part of it still is quite consuming. And, to be honest, like I said, I feel like I don't know what's, you know, coming. I think for us, I think we have some pretty high hopes in the sense that, like, this is something that we've thrown so much energy behind now and put into. So we're not just going to sort of, like, even within our own situation, have it, you know, whatever way if it gets taken care of, whatever that looks like. Like, I think for now, I mean, with all of us, I think we're on the same page that we're fighting for something much bigger than just our situation and, you know, right up to politically, you know, trying to get laws changed. And maybe, you know, something else that's become quite apparent is the need for like a third party athlete organization that is a safe haven, that is an advocate for athletes that are away from these NSOs and PSOs. I think we're looking very big picture, you know, once we kind of come out of this whole kind of discovery phase and really making sure that this situation's turned to a positive and that, you know, we do leave a lasting impact. So, you know, everyone's kids and everybody that's younger that that are coming up through the ranks, like, legitimately can pursue their sporting dreams in a safe environment that, you know, brings out the best in all pieces of them, and they don't ever have to go through the kind of stuff that we had to go through. So I think that that for us, that big picture is our end goal, but that seems quite far down the line right now, just one day at a time, I think, for us at this point.
You can follow along with Kira as the story continues to develop at Kira McCormack on Twitter, and show her your support as well. Kira, we really appreciate this again, the courage you've shown and the rest of the girls in this story to continue fighting, to try and get what's right to happen here eventually is admirable at the very least. Thank you for today and for all that is coming moving forward.
Thanks so much for having me.
Sportsnet 650.